So last week, I guess they did a lot of art in daycare. And they sent home an art packet. I know you've already, I've told
you. Yeah, it's already funny to me.
They sent home an art packet for Timmy of like his art that he did. And Timmy, not super into the art.
Sure.
So like it's like a picture
more
of a dog.
More of a left brainer.
I don't know.
So I don't know what it is.
Picture of a dog and there's like one crayon mark on it that clearly the teacher like held his hand and made him make. But at the end of this art packet, this is the funniest one. It's an orange piece of construction paper with his name written in the corner. And that's it. He didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, he said, not today, Satan.
Yes. They just put that in front of him. He sat there and did nothing with it. They're like, you know what? Send this home to mom and dad.
Right.
Yeah, so that's up on the fridge.
I love it.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and not with me as always, Pastor Bowser. Yep. But Elise McCarter
is still here and still pretty successful.
Great. You did not get, we missed you last week.
I know. Didn't get successful in past week. Yes. So I don't know what to tell you.
You did not go find Bigfoot.
Right. Big bummer. Actually, I did find Bigfoot's Instagram account.
Okay. He's got an Instagram.
It's called Bigfoot Bay. It's a female Bigfoot.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Look it up.
All right. Female Bigfoot. Yeah. Well, she do a hot girl summer.
She does TikToks apparently. Okay. So twerking may or may not be involved.
Okay. Wow. I think I'm good.
Yeah. Like, Bay spelled BAE for those interested listeners.
Sure. Okay.
Bigfoot Bay. You're welcome.
Yeah. Big news for Lord of Life.
Yeah.
Pastor David was last Sunday elected. Not this yesterday. When this podcast came out, but the previous Sunday was called to be our senior pastor and accepted.
He's officially official.
Officially official. So he's on a little mini vacation here.
Yeah, he's already fallen down on the job and not recording with us.
Yeah. Become senior pastor and immediately go on vacation. Wow. to get his head in the game, I guess, you know, to be, you know, the big collar, you know, as you want to say.
Right.
So we're excited.
Does his outfit change for Sundays?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm most concerned about.
Sure.
Same robes, or do I have to get used to something else?
Probably the same robe.
Okay.
The service we go to, he does not wear a robe.
I know. That. I like that. I appreciate that part of that service.
I'm not into robes. I'll be honest here.
You know, I struggle to take him seriously in a robe sometimes. So.
Sure. We're the bad Lutherans on
are.
The podcast.
We're like, take that off. We know you're a pants guy.
Yeah. And it's probably convenient that David's not here actually for this one anyway, because we're talking about Halloween.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like Halloween.
And he only cares about All Saints Day. Yes. So.
Yeah, he's like, call me when it's Advent.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. So that'll be great. Yeah. So we have a special Halloween themed episode.
Woo woo. We're both super excited about this one.
So imagine you're watching a movie. And in the movie, there is like religious figures. They're holding crosses. They're talking about good and evil, maybe even quoting Bible verses in the movie. So you are either watching
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, I'd say you're either watching God's Not Dead 2, Electric Boogaloo, or whatever.
Electric Boogaloo.
Whatever those series are. I don't even know which one they're on now.
Yeah, which number?
Yes.
God's Not Dead.
Which,
14.
God's Still Not Dead, everybody.
Guess what?
Or you're watching a horror movie.
Right.
Those are kind of the only two ones that really have strong, like, religious sentiment from the get-go. Like, you kind of know what you're getting. So you're either into an intentionally Christian movie, that's probably not very good, or a horror movie.
Production value.
And so that's what we're talking about. Like, why does horror as a genre have so many religious themes involved in it? And maybe even like, why only horror, right? Like we watch movies about like the apocalypse or romance and they're like, nothing about religion enters into the picture at all. Like people are like watching the world get destroyed and not one person like prays or talks about God or anything, unless it's like end
of
days.
Maybe you'll have like a token Catholic somewhere.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, nothing of those happens, but you know, a slasher enters the picture or a supernatural entity, lots of Christian imagery, lots of Christian talk. For whatever reason, horror and Jesus go hand in hand,
hand
when it comes to our cultural understanding.
Here to unpack that.
Yes, but first, some Halloween news.
Ooh, the news.
Yes. man who had cops called over bloody Halloween display won't back down.
Oh.
So I can't show you the photo. over the internet, over the podcast.
Are you going to get my reaction?
But I'm going to show you the picture. Okay. You know, at least. And if you want to just Google like gruesome Halloween display, you'll find this.
Okay.
This is from the New York Post. Here you go. This is his.
Oh. So, let me zoom in.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this front yard.
Barrels full of
blood.
Gore.
Yeah.
Like a dummy with an axe sticking out of its skull laying across the roof.
There's a wood chipper that shoots out fake blood. Like he's got going all night.
Oh my gosh.
Like into a kiddie pool is what it looks like. Yeah, so this is intense. This is like, do you decorate for Halloween?
Listen, I want to be a person that decorates for Halloween. I am married to a budget person.
Okay.
Have never decorated for Halloween.
Sure. We have minimal decorations. We have like a skeleton on our front door.
Oh, I like a skeleton. Yeah.
We've got like some pumpkins out there.
I have pumpkins, but and I don't. Are those Halloween?
Yeah, it's Halloween. It's, you know, fall like season. Fall. Yeah. It's all in one. We have like a cauldron that bubbles in our front too, that by our door. And that was given to us. We didn't buy any of that stuff. So, you know, because I get the budget aspect. There are people in my neighborhood who are super into Halloween.
Yeah.
Do you have that? I mean, I have some of the people with the 12-foot tall skeletons.
Yeah. Our neighbors across the street, you know, we just moved to a new neighborhood, and our neighbors across the street, turns out, are big Halloween decorators, and I'm very jealous and have to calm myself every time I walk outside at night.
Yeah. I love Halloween. It is my favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. I think I've said that on the podcast before.
It's mine too.
And so I love Halloween decorations. I'm fine with some spooky stuff. I'm also an adult, so you know,
you're not going to have nightmares over it.
No, haunted houses in there. Talking about horror movies later on in the podcast, or why Christian. I'm excited. I think we're excited to talk about that. But this is guy. A lot. This guy is taking it to
this
a
creep.
Level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check that blood. See if any of it's real.
Texas man. All right. So this is Texas in Dallas man. Area.
Good.
So it's according to him, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre themed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second year he's done this. has had the cops called on him multiple times by neighbors.
Just for like being gross, or they are concerned that there's something actually
maybe
happening.
I mean, you walk outside and you see this scene. You're like, hey, look, let's just have somebody, let's do a drive-by, just make sure everything's okay.
Right.
You don't want a situation where somebody's in there, some brutality has existed.
And you're like,
everybody,
oh, it's Halloween.
And all the neighbors are like, well, he's into the spirit. Right. Yes. he said the cops who responded were ultimately cool with the ghoulish
display. Ultimately cool.
Ultimately cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is their pun here. The decorations. Yes. According to Mr. Novak here, that's the owner of the house, this year's been rough for a lot of people. I think we can agree that this project is functioning as a pressure release valve.
Is it though?
for whom?
Supposed to make the year better.
Yeah, is this like I have my own grisly images and thoughts.
I need to get what's in my head out.
Yeah, and this is keeping the demons at bay, kind of a thing.
Sir, may I recommend therapy?
Yeah. Yes, he cheerfully said to the New York Post, cheerfully, that he used special reflective paint to make it look like his house was broken into by an axe murderer.
He really was detail-oriented in this.
Yeah, this is quite a lot.
Especially, like, that blood is chunky.
Like, yeah!
I don't know what he mixed it with, but it's not just, like, a standard party store fake blood.
Yes.
God.
It's been a tremendous amount of work and dough, but it's worth it because people love it so much, he insisted. People get as tickled looking at my massacre as they do looking at puppies.
Looking at my massacre. Puppies.
Puppies. This brutal scene in this dude's front lawn. Same thing.
Right. I just really want this to be in that super bougie Dallas neighborhood. What is it?
Do you know sure. the name? Yeah. Dallas in general.
Yes. Dallas. Surrounding Dallas area.
You also, he has his Venmo account up here if you're looking to contribute to his decorations for next year. Yeah, this is a lot. I mean, again, I like Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
This may be a little too much for me.
You have to cover your kid's eyes when you drive past it.
I know. Yeah, I get it. The people who are like, hey, kids live in this neighborhood, I kind of get it on this one.
Yeah.
You know, there's some leeway with Halloween that I'll accept, but some people are super into it. And like, we definitely have some neighbors who have gone all out this year, not to this extent, but to the level I'm like, how much? This seems like thousands of dollars for your Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure your husband, Michael, not into the paying thousands of dollars. For the
He's not. You know, we say every year, I have this great idea of like skeletons climbing up the side of the house, going in the window, trying to open the garage door. Like, yeah. I want to do that. And we say every year we're going to do it. We're going to buy the like on sale skeletons at Christmas. Sure. And we never do it.
Yeah. Every year we kind of say the same thing at both Halloween and Christmas. Like, oh, the day after we're going to go to the stores and get everything on sale. Just get it where it's there for next year. Never
do. The problem is that once the skeletons are on sale, you're having to buy gifts for Christmas already. So it's not, I don't know, for a budgeter.
Sure.
The timing never works out.
Give the gift of a skeleton
that I need back to my house. Yes. Thank you.
Wrap it up. Give it to your husband. Good. Congratulations, Michael, for Christmas. Right.
Love you,
babe. I bought you a 12-foot tall skeleton. Yeah. It's underneath the tree.
It's the tree this year.
It's got a bow on it.
Right. We're going to put lights around it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a lot. We hope to get that extra for Halloween. It probably never is going to happen. It's really not that gruesome, but I do want, you know, a healthy spookiness.
Yeah.
I'm also into it. I want to get there. And as Timmy gets older, I think maybe we'll get him involved in doing those things. How does Gray feel about the spooky decorations? She's not into the scary stuff.
She's not, which is funny because she loves Halloween.
Okay.
And loves like spooky decorations. It's just something about... for those who don't know my daughter very well, she cannot watch a movie that has anything close to an antagonist in it.
Sure.
Winnie the Pooh is really her speed. Sometimes it's a little bit much for her.
Yeah.
So I was concerned, you know, when her first Halloween that she's really cognizant of would be like 4 probably. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit concerned about that, but she loves it. There are some pretty intense decorations in a neighborhood on the waterway in the Woodlands, and we were walking past those, and it's like this Jack in the Box that pops out and like yells at you and says all kinds of weird stuff about nightmares and stuff, and she loved it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I should be concerned about.
Sure. Because last year y'all came over and did trick-or-treating in our neighborhood with us, and we watched like the Toy Story our Halloween special, and she was having a rough time. She was like, this may not be for me.
Right. she watched it mostly behind us. Like, she was and it's Toy Story.
Yeah, the villain of that is an iguana. So, like, I mean, like,
poor thing.
Spoiler alert, I guess, for Toy Story Halloween. So I was curious at how she's doing, but she's going to be a banana this year.
Well, she was a banana for the Renaissance Festival.
Classic.
Yeah.
Hey, they had bananas in Renaissance time, right?
Sure. Tropical fruit, very important to the Renaissance.
Sure.
I imagine. She has since sort of changed her direction. I'm going to be Princess Leia dressed up as Bausch the Bounty Hunter.
Okay.
She's going to be Chewbacca.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So we're doing a team costume this year.
Great.
Pretty excited. Yes,
perfect.
Yep.
You know, out of all, you know, she's 5 or 6, right?
6.
6.
Yeah.
You know, Chewbacca, you know, there could be some height issues, I think. You know,
it's going to look maybe not exactly like the movie.
Sure.
Suspend your disbelief.
But that's great. I also have a team costume with Timmy. He is going to be Frodo from Lord of the Rings. He's got some thick curls. So
can't wait to see it. Yes.
And I am borrowing a Gandalf costume.
Yeah.
So we're
You don't have to tell people that you're borrowing it. You just say that you're going to be Gandalf.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be Gandalf.
Yeah.
Street cred.
You're Gandalf.
Yeah. Well, because it's like a legit costume.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So so thank you to probably a person who doesn't listen to this podcast.
Thank you.
Who loaned me the costume.
Right.
But if you're there. All right. Let's get into our main story.
Boop, boop.
From Relevant, our friends at Relevant.
Our friends.
So Relevant sometimes does this. And sometimes, I think more so than many of the other publications that we use, sometimes they have a killer headline and you get into the thing and killers, you know, good pun.
Right.
Oh, I forgot my pun. It takes a lot of guts to do your lawn like that for Halloween.
No.
I forgot it. So I just
fix this in post, edit that into when we were talking about
probably won't, but you know, there you go. Too much work. Their headline, why do horror movies use so much Christian imagery?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of alluded to that in the headline. That's what we're going to talk about. So if you're like, I'm not into horror movies, I think it's okay. Like, I think you can get through this. We're not going to have like deep spoilers about a lot of horror movies out there. But we are going to kind of get into like, why this genre embraces Christianity so much. Mm-hmm. And so they have like 3 points. I don't think they ever quite answer their own question with the headline. And I know the author of the article doesn't really write the headline always, because I think like I'm into that headline. I'm like, I do want to know why. And they don't really answer that question. So we're going to do our best to answer that question. So let me ask you real quick. Do you like horror movies?
So, complicated response from me. Can't be easy.
Sure.
I don't actually watch a lot of horror. I write horror and I read a good bit of horror. I don't watch much of it because it does actually bother me. I'm a very like visual person.
Sure.
And so I have a lot of nightmares. And so for me, watching it is a little sketchy. I don't do well with gore, but I do really well with like a classic ghost story or like classic spooky.
So more atmospheric horror.
Yes. I love old horror movies in particular. Vincent Price, really my speed.
Sure. Yeah. I do like a horror movie, especially around this spooky season time. Mm-hmm. I've been watching a few horror stuff. The early 2000s kind of gave us like this like torture-ish horror movie, like the Saw or Hostel movies. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Watching that is just not really, it's not scary for me. It's just gross. But yeah, some supernatural horror.
Skeleton Key, I really enjoy.
Sure, okay. Yeah. I can get down. I can even get down with a slasher movie, you know, like the 80s.
Freddy v. Jason.
Yeah. Freddy, a Jason, a Halloween, a Scream. And we'll talk about Scream here in a second, because I think that's got some stuff that we're going to kind of get into. I get down with that. And I also get down with kind of the supernatural horrors. Mm-hmm. The Conjuring, which is certainly a movie that we're going to kind of discuss, and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think that those are fun and interesting movies for me. I can't get scared. I can definitely admit that.
Yeah.
I watched a movie the other night when Kat was out of town, and I got scared. You know? So like,
what did you do?
It was tough. It was a little tough to fall asleep. Okay. So you know, I'll admit it.
Yeah.
All right. So first off, how have you experienced Christianity and horror as kind of this weird marriage as a film or book genre?
Do you want like a specific example of something that I've watched or read that I found was a marriage of the two, or do you want me to talk about my own sort of interaction with them?
Let's talk about let me just use some generalities here. Okay. Like something you've watched or read that kind of has this, so we can kind of get into like, this is what we're seeing in these genres, and then we'll kind of get into the whys.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I know you and I were kind of talking about a book before we started recording called My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix. And that is set in South Carolina. During the satanic panic of the 80s and early 90s.
Sure.
So it leans really heavily into that, like, well, what if there really was something to this panic, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's about these two best friends. One of them gets possessed by a demon. The other one has to perform sort of like an at-home exorcism on her. Okay. So it's really strong marriage of horror and really strong Christian, loosely.
Yeah.
Themes.
Absolutely. So one of the movies I kind of mentioned was The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. This is based on, I guess, you know, true in quotes.
Sure.
But the true, I guess, tales of Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were famous like ghost hunters kind of their day, and would travel the country like getting rid of ghosts and demons from homes and people. And so The Conjuring movies are kind of based on them and their tales. How true are they?
Sure.
I'm not going to get into that.
Difficult to say.
That's not the point of this podcast. Yeah. But they are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They're open believers in Jesus. I believe Catholic. I mean, if you're thinking of like you're going to go into a home and fight a demon, you're probably Catholic.
Yeah.
like
chances are good.
And the Conjuring movies, I've only seen the first two, have heavy Christian themes. I mean, they're praying. Mm-hmm. They're saying the Lord's Prayer. They have the Bible, holy water, rosary beads. Those are big elements of those things. And they're effective movies. They're really scary. They don't rely on blood, guts, gore. I think their body count is fairly low.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty scary. And it has this kind of real visceral action. I think we think about maybe the most famous horror movie of all time, The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Is a priest versus demon. I mean, that's the whole movie. And so we have those things. And another movie out there that I really, really like that has kind of these same religious themes is like Signs, this alien movie by M. Night Shyamalan that also has religious themes. The main character is a priest,
right?
You know, or a fallen priest. And the arc of the movie is him regaining his faith in the midst of a horror alien invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably take out some of those religious themes and the movie would work fine, but for intentionally putting them in there, I mean, yeah. The Conjuring and The Exorcist, you can't really get too far away from that. Mm-hmm. But like, it's a movie that doesn't need, it's an alien invasion sure. movie.
Yeah, usually aliens are seen as irreligious, so it's an yeah. interesting choice to marry the two.
But by having these religious themes attached to that are powerful. I mean, yeah. when we think of a vampire movie, what do you need? Holy water,
right.
crosses. You need garlic. Which is not quite, you know, not quite right. religious, but those are
two, we can make an argument.
But those are themes, things you need
yeah.
to fight vampires in a movie, and those are religious themes, mm-hmm. right? Like, so why? Like, that's let's talk a little bit here about this why, and then we'll kind of get into some of the points from the thing. So, why is horror and religion so closely tied together in this genre?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's a couple of different aspects here, and I think we can probably talk about this between the two of us for a long time, and it's kind of a difficult thing to find a place to start with this for me.
Sure.
But I do think that the questions about what we believe, why we believe those things, and what if we're wrong are pretty unsettling to most of us.
Yes.
So I think that that is one aspect of that. I also think, at least from a creator or a writer perspective, two of the best tools you have to drive something home are actually to scare people or to make them laugh.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, horror movies typically aren't trying to make you laugh. There are some that kind of cross over, like Zombieland for one thing, which I love. But they're trying to make a point by scaring the pants off of you, basically.
Sure.
They do that very effectively, I think. So those are two kind of surface level aspects to that. I think we all have these questions about, you know, even if you are not a religious person, I think you still have questions about, you know, what do I believe? Why do I believe that? What if I'm wrong? You know, and other people's beliefs as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think, okay, if we want to divide horror into some subcategories here, maybe that might help. So we have kind of our, like I said, like our slasher flicks, which is kind of like guy with chainsaw and
shows up at party
and group of college students, right, basically, you know, like
that's the blonde dies first.
Yeah. And then usually there's a, you know, classic horror trope is there's a final girl and either she wins and lives, or it subverts the genre and she doesn't. And
right.
the villain
lives. Killer at large.
Yes. Yeah. So that is kind of one of the genres. Then we have a supernatural genre. So this would be demons, paranormal, things like that. So Exorcist, Conjuring, the exorcism of my best friend's exorcism, the book, maybe a lot of Stephen King stuff attached to this supernatural horror. And I think this is the genre that most has the religious elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also, you know, creature features where it's like, you know, the creature from the Black Lagoon. It's kind of this weird thing. Jaws would be kind of in this or even maybe even zombies are kind of like a creature feature kind of a thing. So I would say those are kind of our three big genres of horror. Do you have, you know, you're maybe more the expert in the literary sense. Are there any others that I'm missing here if you want to just...
Gothic, I think, would also fall under that as well. Sort of like a general creepiness.
Okay. Atmospheric.
But not necessarily anything overtly violent, but, you know, an atmosphere of sort of doom and gloom.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, you know, and in those, there's subgenres and all those things. Yeah. You know, a haunted house is an entire genre of horror in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, so like, but I think when you get into the supernatural horror, when you're dealing with like things that are different in our world, it's easy to draw from Christianity because one, culture at large, especially in America, has kind of these cultural roots that we all kind of, even if you're non-religious, you kind of get, right? Like you kind of get the idea of demons or Satan and angels. You just kind of are there. Even if you're like, I've never been to church, or I haven't been to church since I was 8 years old. Like,
you've been exposed to those concepts. Yeah.
That concept is already there. So it's already kind of like easy to mine in a sense. And I think too, if you're introducing an element of supernatural, then it opens up a world of like, well, that opens up elements of faith. I mean, then I think it's easy for Christian or even these filmmakers or authors who have these kind of cultural roots and are asking questions of like, if I want to ask a question of a demon or the supernatural, how do you defeat the supernatural? Mm-hmm. Well, kind of more supernatural has got to come into the picture.
Right.
And that usually means aspects of faith.
Yep.
And so oftentimes that means the Christian God, because we live in a Christian nation, comes in to be the victor to mm-hmm. be the hero of the story in those kinds of elements. So movies like The Exorcist, The Conjuring, Rosemary's Baby, Omen, Signs, like the hero is God. I mean, like that's kind of our one person, our one figure coming in to save the day. And that makes sense. If it's mm-hmm. a supernatural thing that I, as a human, cannot address, you have to have a supernatural entity on my side to kind of fight on my behalf.
Yep.
And I think so. It's easy to kind of get in those directions. And I think when you're kind of peeking behind the curtain in the supernatural, it kind of, again, opens up those questions of like, well, the church is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of both these genres of are both these aspects of horror and religion are both saying what is going on behind the curtains of this world. And so they're kind of like, we're kind of looking at the same stuff.
I know. Yeah.
And I think if you read the Bible, and especially when you get into stories where there are demons, the paranormal, Satan, it is scary. Mm-hmm. It is weird. And sometimes we don't address it as such in church, but it is there.
Right. Especially, I mean, from an objective perspective, the Bible is full of all kinds of like weird, creepy stories.
Absolutely.
So it's sort of rife for being pulled into the horror genre anyway, because Christina is sort of like a shared mythology for the West anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so I think, you know, if you are exploring horror genres in India, the Middle East, China, mm-hmm. you might have different elements there of like heavily influenced by Hinduism mm-hmm. or Buddhism or Islam and how they're kind of addressing horror. I don't know.
I can tell you like French horror tends to be really heavy on postmodern and despair themes.
Sure. So. Yeah. So how their marriage with horror, with religion is, I'm not an expert on that. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to it. I've watched a lot of horror movies and I've seen a lot of Christian themes in horror. Mm-hmm. In this weird way. So first let's talk about this idea. And this is one of the points that she brings up, that horror affirms the importance of morality.
Interesting. Okay,
what do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you learn a lot about yourself by the things that scare you.
Yeah.
For one thing, you know, and I can buy that it informs the importance of morality to an extent.
Sure.
I don't know. I think maybe that's a little bit on the nose, but
sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously when you get into a horror genre, especially supernatural, and sometimes, you know, a slasher and supernatural, there's a bit of an overlap. There is the idea of like, there is evil, this evil thing happening.
Defined evil.
Very defined evil.
Yeah.
And good has to come in to mm-hmm. defeat it.
Yeah.
Whether the good is the priest in The Exorcist, Ed and Lorraine Warren, whether it's the final girl, whether it's you know, the priest in Signs mm-hmm. getting visions from God, whatever it is, good has to step in to defeat that evil.
Yep.
And even in the teen slasher flicks, in the movie Scream, which is one of my favorites, mm-hmm. Halfway through the movie, one of the characters kind of says like, hey, all these movies have rules. Mm-hmm. And the rules are basically, if you're bad, you're gonna die.
Right.
Like
you can hang it up.
Yeah, like the only people that make it to the end are the good people. Mm-hmm. And so like, and obviously there are many things that subvert that genre.
Yeah.
But like that's kind of a basics of it. Like,
yeah.
Like the audience kinda is okay with the killer killing kids that are bad. Like,
that's interesting, isn't
like,
it?
And so like we're giving him a pass.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't necessarily want it to happen, but like, eh, you know, they're gonna kill somebody.
Killing,
you know?
Bad, but no. He's kind of a jerk.
And so in Scream, like the rules are, you know, if you're seen drinking, smoking, doing drugs, engaging in premarital sex.
This is our definition of being a bad person in Scream.
This is
I haven't seen it.
So. Okay, this is his if you're the bully, mm-hmm. you know, if you're those things, we're kind of okay with you getting your comeuppance as kind of a theater audience.
Sure.
Like, and so that's kind of an interesting thought, right? Like, mm-hmm. like we're like the audience is generally fine with punishing bad people.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of buying into the mythology of that particular horror movie experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's interesting. And Scream kind of like plays it on the nose. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to address this straight to the audience, basically. Yeah. He might as well just turn to the camera and say, this is happening. Yeah. What do you think? Right. Like, but that is kind of the genre. And then the final girl, doesn't do those things.
Oh.
She's nice. She's kind.
Gotcha.
She's virginal. She's sweet. Those are the things. And that's why she's able to defeat the evil at the end, because she's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we have this kind of this built into the genre, right? Like, so there's a defined evil. And so we need to define good to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And coincidentally enough, Christianity has it too.
Right.
Like, so, you know, and we have a defined evil in, you know, supernatural evil in Satan and demons. Mm-hmm. We also have a defined evil in kind of a less or more ambiguous way in sin, death, things like that, and a very defined good in Jesus. So mm-hmm. a match made in heaven.
Sure.
You know, or a match made.
Or somewhere.
A match made in a haunted house. Right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, sort of the flip side of that, I was thinking as you were describing Scream, is that all kinds of atrocities have been committed in the name of Christianity as well. You have
For sure.
Inquisition. You have the Crusades.
Yeah.
You know, you have all of that. So that also
yeah.
is, from the other perspective, really rife for horror movie material.
Sure.
You know, and Scream, yeah. you know, this concept where the girl that survives has passed this test based on, you know, a person's
yeah.
decision that she's good because she measures up to this. Mm-hmm. That's really scary from the other side of that too, that there could be this authority that's going to decide whether or not you deserve to live or whatever.
For sure. Yeah.
So devil's advocate, I guess.
Which is also a horror movie.
Right. So,
like, which I think also, like, when we say Christianity and horror go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Christians are the good guys and sometimes they're the villains.
The best,
and
yeah.
sometimes it's kind of subverted in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both are fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both are valuable elements that should be presented in this genre.
Mm-hmm.
Right now there's a major Netflix show called Midnight Mass. You were smiling.
I thought you were going to go with Handmaid's Tale, so that's why I was smiling and nodding. Okay. But
That's a genre of horror. But Midnight Mass is small town on an island, Catholic church.
Already creepy.
Weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and there's elements of, here's why religion and cultish behavior is really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And also here's why redemption arcs and faith is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And both those things can be displayed at once. And yeah. I think that's valuable and important all at the same time.
I love that, the kind of thing where we can say, here's something at its best and here's something at its worst, and you can kind of compare the two. You know?
For sure. All right. So the next point that relevant here will bring up is, horror shows us the consequences of putting our faith in science or in man instead of God.
This I don't one, buy this, this one bit.
Out of the three bullet points that are in this one I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'm bringing it up to address it. I don't think we're going to talk too much about this, except for, like, I don't think the author here is on the money.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really a stretch.
And I think her write-up is really a stretch, too.
It kind of is. Like, I want to love it because it's a female author talking about horror movies, but...
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, I get it, but I don't think... I do not see her point really coming to fruition in kind of these things.
But how many horror movies have you seen or horror books have you read where it's like the point is, we put our faith in science instead of God and the bad thing happens?
Yeah, I mean, so mad scientist is a trope.
Sure.
And I think that could be part of it. I think usually, so a mad scientist, typically a villain,
mm-hmm.
in a horror flick. So you could maybe say like that if you're going all in on experimentation and there are no limits,
mm-hmm.
sure, that could be bad.
The limits is bad in most or maybe even all scenarios. So,
but I also think mad scientist past like Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
we really don't have a lot of that going on
in
horror, especially modern horror. It's just not that interesting for us to kind of look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Usually in a supernatural horror movie, we can say like the guy that does not want to believe that the supernatural is really happening is usually wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could say that.
Yeah.
Like usually that guy who's always looking for the real life explanation, mm-hmm. often wrong, often dies.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So.
Well, sort of the point of that in a horror movie is that not having an explanation for something scares us as people.
For
right?
sure.
And so they want to exploit that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that may be the more interesting concept here, that they could kind of draw from the same thing of like, what do we do when we encounter something that there is no rational explanation? Right. And that makes it challenging. Do we tack on a rational explanation that kind of fits, you know, to throw the lights on, open the closet and be like, it was no boogeyman.
Right.
It's just this pile of clothes that looks like it could be a boogeyman.
Right.
And it's, and in that situation, yeah, that makes sense. But when we deal with issues, especially in scriptural issues of like, what do we do with demons? What do we do with the unknown?
Right.
What do we do with the idea of like the abyss is staring back at us?
Yeah.
Throwing a rational explanation may not be the best explanation out there. I think allowing for a supernatural explanation for supernatural things is okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it's okay to sit in that space of, I really don't know.
For sure. Yeah. And so I can agree with that to a point. I also think the opposite end can be true of like, we encounter the supernatural. We just say, oh, it's God.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Or up, oh, it's Satan.
Right.
Devil made me do it. And then that also kind of like throws a, you know, kind of a an easy answer on a hard question.
Sure, yeah.
And I think both those things, I don't think work.
No, yeah.
Okay, last point. Horror, our last point for her. We might have some more. Horror reminds us of our fallenness. What do we think about this?
I think it can. I think.
Sure.
Depending on its point, I think that some good supernatural horror can remind you of your fallenness.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they can maybe remind us of humanity's fallenness.
But most of the good ones end on a note of hope, I think.
I think so, too. But I think it reminds us that bad things happen in this world, that this world is not how it should be. And yet, in light of that, there's still redemption and hope in the midst of it. And I think that that happens. So I think it reminds us that we're frail humans whose life can be ended in an instant through a wide variety of ways that you know, I think that horror does remind us that part of the fallen world, that life is fragile, it can happen suddenly, and it can change quickly. Not all of us, unfortunately, get to die in our beds in old age surrounded by family,
right?
You know, like, and horror reminds us like that life is precious.
Yep.
And I think it can, and precious and frail. And so I think it can remind us of those things. And I think that is an element of faith. You know, that that when we talk about how life works from a Christian point of view, that's true. And yet in the midst of that, like most horror movies, we find hope and redemption while acknowledging that those things are happening.
Right.
And it gives us a grief that is rooted in something bigger than just chaos. And so I think that matters.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. So I do think that's not really the direction she goes.
No.
But I do think
we can take it in a better direction. Yeah. No offense, our friends at Relevant.
Yeah. And so there are definitely people out there who are like, not into horror, don't want to watch it, scares me. And I get it. And, yeah. I think it's totally fine. But I do think if you're into these things, it does raise some questions that maybe some genres can't.
Right. I mean, for me, I think that getting to know the things that scare you gives them less power over you.
Sure.
Sort of like exposure therapy.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's one reason for me why horror has a place. It's, I can interact with things and figure out, why does this bother me? Why does this concept scare me? It's very rarely like the surface level scary aspect of it, right? It's never the spider or the monster or the zombie. It's the feelings of aloneness or isolation or whatever is lying behind.
Absolutely. That. Yeah. Yeah. And most genres at their best have kind of reached that place of like, this is allegorical for what's actually can happen in our world or what's actually going on for you, the audience, or you, the person there, that the fear of the unknown is a powerful thing. I mean, like, I know, so when we talk about one of my favorite horror movies, which is, you know, horror-ish, is the movie Jaws. And Jaws works in because the shark model that they built was awful and they could never use it.
Right.
Like, and so they could never show the shark until the end. And that made it work better.
You have so many questions about the shark building up. Yep.
because it made you, the audience, like fill in the gaps with your own imagination. And those are really the best horror movies that like show you glimpses of what's going on or allude to it and allows like you fill in the gaps from your own personal imagination or your own experience. And what you think of is way scarier than we can put on this screen because you have experienced terror in your life.
Right.
And you're drawing from things in your own personal life that are way more powerful than we could put a scary mask or a guy who looks weird on screen to scare you.
Right.
And I think that, those horror movies are sometimes most effective because it's like you, the audience, know what it's like to be scared.
Yep.
And we as humanity know what it's like to be scared. We're scared of supernatural things. Let's put it out there and let you kind of fill in the own gaps of what that's going to look like.
I think that's one reason why Prometheus works really well. Sure. I think for me in particular, I don't know if you liked Prometheus or not, but I really loved Prometheus. Yeah. And for one reason, because it is a prequel to the Alien movies, right? And so you know the entire time something goes wrong, Alien shows up later, right? And it's the story of them trying to figure out what's going on this planet. Something's obviously happened. There was intelligent life there. And it's a lot of like creeping around corners and like you don't see that much and not that much is actually happening. But it's super tense and super scary because you know what comes out of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Alien and Aliens are wonderful movies, two of my favorites. The Prometheus and then its sequel, I can't remember the name of it.
I didn't watch it. Just saw Prometheus.
I think they're fine. You know, like, but if they released another one, I'd watch it. I would definitely want to go watch it. I love those movies. I think they're really interesting. They do ask some interesting questions and have some interesting characters in there. Plus, they have an android character who's always kind of a little bit morally ambiguous. Right. And that makes it
love
scary.
A morally ambiguous character.
Because it looks human, but it's not quite. And that's a scary thing for people.
Yeah.
For things that look human, but are not quite, are scary.
Right.
Like, and so that's an effective horror technique. And so, yeah, that's an interesting thing. Any other places you want to go here before we kind of put a bow on this?
Or
stab a knife into
this. Stab a knife into it. Stab it in the back.
Yeah.
Slit its throat over a bowl of soup.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty gross.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I think horror can exist for its own sake just to scare you and still be great. And you can still interact with it and find some meaning in it too for yourself. And I think, you know, in and of itself, horror is still a valuable genre.
Yeah.
But I think the best horror is trying to teach you something about yourself or about the world. So I'm a big fan, especially literary horror.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sensitive, so I can't watch that much of it.
Sure. Yeah. I think you're right. And I think so. I think it's interesting that a lot of Christian screenwriters or filmmakers go that direction because I think they want to do that thing. I want to teach you something about yourself, but a general audience is also, you know, probably not going to sit down to watch the next God's Not Dead movie.
Yeah.
It's too on the nose. It's too like blatant. It's too let's spell everything out for you.
And condescending. Too. I think we can say they're condescending.
Yeah, and I agree. But maybe you'll watch a Conjuring movie.
Right.
And that'll raise questions of faith. That'll be like, when I am spooked in the night, what do I do? When I see something that doesn't quite make sense in my head, or like I feel those, you know, pringlies on the back of my neck, where do I go mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Those are all there. It's kind of like that saying, there's no atheists in foxholes or hospital waiting rooms. There's no atheists when the guy with the chainsaw is chasing you. There's no atheist.
Praying to something.
There's no atheist. Yeah. When you feel somebody's watching you in the dark, like there's just does not exist. Like immediately we're kind of going into spiritual realms. And I think that matters. So I think it's no surprise that even atheistic horror directors and horror writers and horror book writers want to explore what do we do when faced with the unknown.
Right. I mean, these are questions that are common experiences for all of us too, right? We all have had a scary experience, or I think all of us have, you know, where we sort of wrestle with the, oh my God, how do I react to this? Like, what's actually happening here? That's sort of subversion of reality. You know, whether or not communion is actually, whatever the term is actually like transfiguration or whatever it is not a common experience for everybody.
Sure.
So if you want to have those discussions and those tap into those feelings of spirituality and those feelings of, well, what's real and what isn't, mm-hmm. going the route of the shared experience is going to be much more effective.
Yeah.
Even if it's not as direct.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good way. Good button to end on here for us.
Boop.
Yeah. Real quick, I know you mentioned kind of the My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Oh, I have another book that's ready to go.
This is your time. I want to say, like, any horror wrecks, religious or not, it's spooky season, so some of our
spooky
listeners
season.
Might say, like, hey, maybe let's watch a little horror movie.
Yeah.
I might be interested in that. What do you got for
us?
So
I got both a movie and a book. I was able to think of a movie that I could stand to watch.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually one of the scarier movies I've ever seen. Okay. But An American Haunting. Have you seen it?
Maybe. Describe it to me.
Okay. Yes. So it is the story based on a true story, which.
True.
Take that
true
with
in
the,
quotes.
Yeah. Take that with a grain of salt. Yeah. It is the only death case in the United States where the cause of death is actually attributed officially to a ghost.
Okay.
Yep.
American Haunting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very scary. Right. I love a ghost story, though, so I recommend that, especially with like the historical aspect of that.
Okay.
One of my favorite books that I've read recently is called Mexican Gothic by Silvia Marino Garcia. She is a Mexican-American author. It is a gothic horror story set in Mexico in the 1950s. It is incredible.
Okay. Interesting. Great, great, great. I love a horror book. I like to kind of say, like, I was raised on my two dads, Stephen King and Steven Spielberg. So, like,
and look at you.
Yeah, yeah. Hear me now. And they both gave me very different experiences. So, So I do love a horror book, but I'll recommend a few movies here. One that does play into religious themes is a Denzel Washington movie that came out in the early 2000s called Fallen.
Mm.
It has definitely got some demons, some supernatural in there. Denzel Washington is our lead. It's really interesting. I think it's not a graphic horror movie. There's not, like, you know, grisly murders or anything like that. So I think, I'm not saying it's necessarily family friendly, but I think you could watch it and not, if you're like, I don't want to see, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think you'll be okay.
Yep.
That just raises kind of more supernatural questions. And then one of my favorite horror movies ever is a movie called Cabin in the Woods.
Ooh.
Plays with the tropes of a cabin in the woods kind of horror story, but ramps it up to really interesting and different questions that come from that. If you're like, I've never seen that movie and I like horror movies, don't watch a trailer. Just watch it.
Okay.
Just watch it. Because I think you'll walk away. This one does have blood, guts, and things like that. It's not too gross in my opinion, but it does have those elements.
Okay.
So it may not be appropriate for, you know, a 13 or 14 year old.
We're going to go ahead and say that most of these probably won't be appropriate for a young child.
Yeah. Oh, and I just watched a movie on HBO last week called Malignant, which does not really get into these religious themes either, but it's super fun. It goes into like super B-movie horror movies. Mm-hmm. At the last act, ramps it up to 11, and it's super bonkers and super fun in like a crazy way.
Yeah.
It does have a lot of blood. I did not think it was very scary, though.
Okay.
But
one of my favorite scary old movies, if you want something that you could potentially watch as a family with your young children, is called House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that's the one thing that I kind of miss is like, familiar, like horror movie that's kind of like good for kids. I grew up in the 80s, so everything was scary. You know, like there was an element of like any movie
every
can be
show is like horrifying.
Any movie can be horrifying. Like it could be directly suited for kids, and it's terrifying. Like,
we want you to feel bad when you leave.
You go to Chuck E. Cheese, and it is horrifying. So scary. Yeah. Like it's a scary experience. You know, so like I'm primed to be scared. Right. Like, you know, but I do think it. You know, that's one of the things that I kind of miss is like movies that can be kind of scary for everybody.
Yeah.
That don't have to deal with us. So like Poltergeist, and, you know, there's a scary one, or I'm trying to think of another one. Gremlins, you know, things like that.
Yeah. I don't know if they've changed the title of this, but 10 Little Indians by Agatha Christie.
Sure.
I love that trope of like,
I think now it's called
and then there were none. Yes. Okay. I just want to go back and say the term is Native Americans. I do get that. When I was growing up,
that was
the
original
Christie
title.
Story was called 10 Little Indians.
Different one.
Yeah.
Oh, trust
okay,
me.
So, and then there were none. I love that trope. Dinner guests, party, get locked in, start picking each other off.
Any trope of, like, I'll tell you, group of people, one of us is a killer, I'm in. I'll watch the worst movie if that's the theme. It could be awful, and I'm like, I still love it. I'm still invested in that, what that means. All right, so if you liked what you heard, tell us your favorite horror stories. I always up for recommendations. If it's on streaming, I definitely want to know so I can watch it. if you liked Richard, I don't know, find us somewhere. Yeah. that's David Usel was born. I stopped paying attention. So like
BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
Boom, there you go. You're paying attention.
That's right.
Email us your things. We're on Facebook, I think.
Are we? Maybe.
Yeah. Or just talk to us. You know, find us. Tell us what you think. We love horror. Yeah. Or at least two of the three of us love horror stuff. Yes.
If you're listening to this, there's an odds are that you know us. So text us.
Yeah. We know Pastor David. Not super into the Halloween stuff, so I probably get that he's not.
But he's your guy for All Saints Day, so.
If you've got a Reformation movie out there, let him know. Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.